James chapter number 1, and we're going to read every other verse, starting at verse 9 and going down to verse number 12. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on this theme this morning, rejoicing in poverty and rejoicing in riches. Rejoicing in poverty and rejoicing in riches. I'll read verse number 9, and then you join me on every other verse. We'll stop at 12. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for what we've been able to go through and learn and be encouraged and pray and see even in this service thus far. Thank you again for the freedom that we have to gather in this way and encourage one another in you. Thank you for the gospel message, Lord. I thank you that it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, may your will be done now in this hour. May souls be saved. May Christians be edified, encouraged, equipped, convicted. May we be willing to say yes in whatever it is you're working on in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we get into these rather interesting verses of the book of James, as we now are several weeks into this series, and if you have been here for all of them, wonderful. If you haven't been here, I would encourage you to go back and get caught up and listen to where we are this morning in this series of lessons from the book of James. And here we see that James is challenging us about poverty, and he's challenging us about riches. He's mentioning the poor, and he's mentioning the rich. And of course, other places in the Bible, which we'll be going to in a moment, we find such comparisons. Here we see that the poor brother is able to forget. We believe that the book is written to brothers and sisters in Christ, and we see that right away in verse 2. We've already covered it, my brethren. So we see here that the poor Christian, or the Christian that has less, is and he's able to forget that he has less, and even in some way, this individual is able to rejoice. In fact, we know from Paul's writing in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, he writes that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And so this always would include when you have money in the bank and when you have no money in the bank or very little. Now, as we think about poverty in this first world country that we live in, I hope and pray that we will not for 1 minute think that we are the poorest of the poor. Because you would be doing yourself a great disservice and you would be discounting many, many people in our world today who have considerably, I don't know how many times I can say the adverb, considerably less than I do. And at times I might even think I don't have much. Could I say, how dare I, with a roof over my head, temperature-controlled living quarter, a blanket, an extra if I need it. Some of you are from different places. I've been to many places in this world. When I leave there, I leave almost ashamed. Not of them, but of me. Who would dare say, I don't have much? But we only have to compare what we have, right? If you've never been in that situation, it's difficult. But I think we can definitely agree today that God takes care of everyone in every place, whether it's palatial, if you will, or whether it's not so palace-y, right? God is good and God is faithful. So we see here, though, that James is saying that this individual that has little can have a good attitude about it, and he or she can rejoice in it. And then he says he even gets into the rich brother, and he talks about the rich brother and how this rich brother also should be willing to forget that he or she has great riches. And they should get to the place even where they're willing to impart them with others. In other words, there is equality. It doesn't matter the statement of the bank balance, the retirement balance, whatever it may be, property or none, retirement or very little. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying the Bible is very clear that these are equal in this case. Now, there's definitely a great responsibility, as we're going to see this morning, with someone who has great riches. And in fact, the Bible is very clear that that individual has a great challenge. Not an impossible one, but a great one. Either way, true humility accepts both those who have less and those who have much. You know, sometimes we can have this reverse humility and we can look at people who have more than us and we can say, even in our minds, well, I'm better than them because they're rich and almighty and all whatever, and I'm just down here, you know, I'm just little old me. How dare they have great riches? And the matter of fact is, riches do not make someone evil. Having money does not make someone wrong. The Bible says nowhere that having money is wrong. It says the love of money, though, is a great, great, great problem. In fact, when you say something is all, do you not mean it's all? Do you mean all, right? When someone says all, does that mean all? Yes, all means all, and that's all means. You can talk to me a little bit, okay? Just don't throw anything unless it's money. Since we're talking about money, we got to get that budget up, all right? Just kidding. All means all. So when the Bible says the love of money, listen now, the love of money is the root of most evil. Does it say that? No, it does not. The love of money is the root of almost all evil. Does it say that? No, it says it's the root of all evil. Be careful if you love money today. Be very careful, because that's the only verse in the Bible that says that. But it's powerful. And by the way, it is so true. Trace it all. Trace it all from when the beginning began to begin, and trace it all till November 30th, 2025. The love of money is the root of all evil. So as Christians, may God deliver any of us here today. And at times, I think we could all be tempted to say, wow, if I only had more money. No, you don't need more money. You need more God. And I need more God. And when I have more God, then I'll have everything I need. Because if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto me. Matthew 6:33. Either way, I would encourage us this morning not to attach ourselves too lightly to what we have. And don't live our life trying to get what we can't keep. I think the Bible says somewhere about riches flying away. Any of you ever seen money with wings on it? Some of us say, yes, it lives at my house. Every week when the bills come, it flies away. You know? It's okay to laugh too, all right? Man, I'm telling you, as a Christian, you ought to be the happiest person. You ought to have the most joy. You know what? Everything around us could be falling down. London bridges could be falling down, you know. But everything around us could be, you know, just a mess. But God is on the throne. Christ did it as his right hand. Heaven is my eternal home. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Have much doesn't matter. Have a lot doesn't matter. I'm in the Lord. I hope you are too. And when we have the Lord, we have all we need. Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified. For me, he died. Christ is all I need. Don't hold on to it too much. Humility and poverty, humility and riches. Trusting God when we have a lot. Trusting God when we have very little. Here's the good news. Not only do riches fade away and fly away, but you know what? Poverty does too. You say, what are you talking about? What I just said. Because when we have Christ, we aren't poor. When we have Christ, we have everything. We have more than everything. I mean, wow, what a good God. The overall theme of these verses, in my opinion, as we look at them, is about being humble. Whether we are someone that is labeled in the haves or we're in the have-nots. By the way, I'm only saying that by the world's view. Because as a believer, you have. Always. As a Christian, we always have. Let's think about this in some other instances in our Bibles. Would you go with me and let's journey for a little bit here this morning to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. As we consider this morning rejoicing in poverty and rejoicing in riches, we come to Luke's gospel in chapter number 1. Jesus has not been born yet. He's about to be born. Thank you for getting this water. And whoever does this every week, thank you. I should say thank you more often. Thank you for that. Luke 1, verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded, notice, he hath regarded the low estate. You might want to circle those words, or you might want to really think about those words. Because Mary did not come from a family of affluence. Mary came from a very poor family. And who did she give birth to? The Savior. In my low estate of his handmaid, thou hath regarded, he's regarded the low estate. So God gives great value to the low estate, right? The Bible says elsewhere in the book of James, we'll get there eventually, God willing, the Lord tarries his coming. We'll get there where he says, humble yourself and God will exalt you. Here Mary is saying, God has given great prominence. Pardon me. P's are hard to say sometimes. Prominence to low, to someone who's low. He's regarded the lowly estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me what? Blessed. And by the way, we're still calling her that today. 2,000 plus years later. We're saying that somebody who had a low estate by the world's standards, someone who was regarded in her low estate, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Let's turn over to Luke 16. Notice the spirit, by the way, of Mary. I know we're turning to Luke 16, but the spirit of Mary, I should have emphasized that a little bit there, how she rejoiced. Yes, she was being given an unbelievable responsibility. But she was rejoicing even in her low estate. You know, joy is a fruit of the who? Spirit. So is joy. This is good review, but it's also maybe teaching for maybe some, okay? And we all need to be taught over and over again, okay? Repetition is the key to learning. So circumstances, can they impact the fruit of the Spirit? Yes or no? No. Because circumstances, the fruit of the Spirit is from the Holy Spirit, right? I'll tell you what circumstances impact. Circumstances impact happiness. You know what? There's times in my life, as they say, I am not a happy camper. And I don't even like camping. I'm not a happy one, and I'm not a good one either. Man, if you want me to go camping with you, you better bring a lot of stuff around, because I don't know how to do any of that stuff. Now, maybe I should, but I don't. It's too late. Old dog, new tricks, not happening, okay? Just go to the Hilton, all right? That's where I'm going. Anyway, no, I'll go to Motel 6. They leave the light on for you. That's the best right there, Motel 6. They leave the light on for you. Luke 16, verse 19. Happiness is impacted by circumstances. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So when circumstances in your life and my life are not what we like, we still ought to have the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord does not come from whether or not things are going exactly how we want to. That doesn't mean we don't cry. That doesn't mean we don't think, we're emotional creatures. That doesn't mean we don't have struggles on the inside that sometimes make their way on the outside. We do. We have those. But we have the fruit of the Spirit on the inside. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are all, those nine fruit of the Spirit are there to help you and to help me to overcome whatever it may be. And they won't leave us because they're the fruit of the Spirit. So we can have joy. As Mary said, I rejoice in the Lord, who hath seen the lowliness of my family. And he said, I have a job for you. Wow, amazing, really. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man. All right, so now we're going opposite end of the spectrum here. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There came a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So we have the rich man and we have the poor man. Many of you have read this before. May God speak to us now as we read it one more time. And desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, I'd say that's poor, wouldn't you? Just crumbs. He doesn't even want to be at the table. He knows he's not going to be at the table. If he can just sit there and get the things that drop, excuse me, almost like a dog. He's just saying, I just want some crumbs. I'm that hungry. Wow, that's hungry. And he not only that, but he was laid at his gate full of sores. Name was Lazarus, verse 20. 21. And desiring to be fed with crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. We talked about this one time. I still have the word carried underlined, and I still have the word buried underlined. If you were here, you might probably remember that emphasis that was made. Or maybe you've noticed it in your own Bible reading. One of them was carried and one of them was buried. By the way, you don't want to be buried. If you can figure it out and look at it, I think we all can. Let the Holy Spirit of God bring conviction. We don't want to get in this life and be buried. I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your soul. Right? Buried meaning down, meaning hell. We see that from the text, and carried, meaning up into the presence of the Lord. Looking forward to that, aren't you? That'll be just amazing, whether it's by the upper taker or the undertaker. You know, I'm going up. Hallelujah. Hope you're going up. By the way, you're not going up because you got money or you're poor. That's not how you're going up. As many people say, well, I'm going to just live a poor life. There's people throughout history. I was reading about this. I didn't feel led of the Lord to really document all of it for this, but there's people that purposely lived poor lives to actually get favor with God. By the way, that doesn't get favor with God either. Okay, let's just keep going. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Wow, things were changing in an instant when he died. The rich man also died, and things were changing for him, and he was buried, Notice, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Let's just stop right there. Here we see that the rich man did not have a relationship with God. I know that he did not have a relationship with God because the Bible says that as soon as he died, he went to the place of torment, a place called hell, a place that was not created for you, a place that was created for the devil and his angels. The Word of God documents that. But here we see that the rich man did not have a relationship with God. We also see that the poor man did have a relationship with God. And we also see that we are in one of those two categories today. Let's set aside rich and poor for a minute. That really doesn't matter necessarily because, again, like we said, when it all boils down, both of it's going to fly away. Because as soon as this man died, remember, he had dogs licking his arm one day, and the next day he was in the presence of God. Wow. What a change. One day he had a Fido, a dog, coming up and licking his knees, and the next day he was standing on his own 2 feet in the presence of Almighty God. One day the rich man was sitting at a table with servants all around him, bringing him whatever his stomach desired. And the next day he was suffering in a place that he is still suffering. We believe in the eternal punishment at Anchor Baptist Church. As much as everlasting life is there, everlasting punishment is there. Which means that in all these years, the rich man is still there. Wow. And you and I are in one of these two categories. We're either destined to be carried into the presence of God, by destined meaning because of a choice that we've made, not because God made the choice for you. We have a free will, and I have a free will to choose. Or we're going to be buried, which means our soul is going to be in judgment for all eternity. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, can I say one more time? God loves you. Jesus Christ, his Son, died for you. He was buried for you. He suffered and bled and died for you, for all of us. I'm saying, though, for you that are lost today, you still have not turned to Christ. You're still trusting in something other than Jesus. The list could be lengthy of what that could be. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter how many things are on that list. There's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said it himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Could I encourage you this morning, turn to Jesus. I cannot take you physically by the shoulders and turn you to the Lord Jesus and say, trust Jesus. No, you have to make that decision from your heart. Romans 10. Could we hold our finger in Luke chapter 16? I think the Lord wants us to go over to Romans 10 for just a moment. We're coming back to that one. Romans 10, look what God's Word says. Romans 10:9. Listen carefully now. I know you're listening, but really listen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Look, if you died today like that rich man died, if you died today like the Lazarus died, would you be in heaven or not? And if you have any doubt at all, and by the way, you're not in heaven because you're good. You're not in heaven because you have money. You're not in heaven because you're poor. You're not in heaven because you got baptized. You're in heaven because of one reason. And it's right here. We're looking at it, okay? If this is something you're doubting, this is something that you prayed a prayer when you were seven. I'm not discounting that, okay? You can get saved when you're seven. You get saved when you're younger than that. That's not the point this morning. The point is this morning, don't fake it and think that when you get to the end, when you get to a certain point, you're going to go ahead and get saved. When you get a little bit older, I'm just going to get this dealt with. No, don't listen to the devil any longer. Everybody here might think you're saved, but God knows if you're saved today. Don't let Satan snatch you when God has made everything possible for you to be saved. Because 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart, you see it there? Not with the lips. You don't believe from the lips. You believe from the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So that comes first, and then comes the lips. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich. There you go. Wasn't planning on going here, but God said go there. Why? Because that little word rich was right there. For all that know him are rich. Look at that. Unto all that call upon him. Hallelujah. I'm rich in the Lord. How about it? So are you if you know the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Put your name in there. For whosoever. Put your name in there. For if Ben shall call upon the name of the Lord, Ben shall be saved. Put your name in there. Just all anybody. You have a name. For whosoever. The rich man died, was buried. Lazarus died, was carried. Which one would you be today? I'm not talking about their status in society. I'm talking about their status with God. Our standing with God. Right? Let's go back to Luke 16 quickly. So the rich man died and was buried, carried. Excuse me, the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Abraham's in Abraham's bosom. Rich man died and was buried. Hell, he lift up his torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Notice, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, verse 24, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Now remember what Lazarus was looking for. Lazarus just wanted some crumbs. Now look at the reversal. Now the rich man says, I don't even want crumbs. I'd rather have a little drip, just a drip of water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The rich man and the poor man. The rich man becomes poor and the poor man became rich. The rich man with lots of food and the poor man begging for crumbs. Now the rich man just wants a little bit of water and the poor man has a feast. That's not in the text, but that's a feast just being in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. Would you go to Matthew 19? Luke 19, how about Matthew 19? Rejoicing in poverty, rejoicing in riches. What is God teaching us from James and as well as these examples? Matthew 19, 16. Let the Bible speak. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, this rich young ruler here, as many have called him, it's interesting because in all that he had, and we'll look at that, in all that he had, he still knew something, and this is a good start, shall we say. Because the rich young ruler comes to Jesus because he is missing something, right? The rich young ruler knows that he's missing. What is he missing? Look what he says. What does he ask him? What does he ask him how to get? Eternal life. So that means he knows he doesn't have it. Can we not agree with that? I mean, if he's asking how to get it, that means he doesn't have it. That means he knows he doesn't have it. That means he knows that in all of his religious training, in all that he has up until this point, he knows that there's something missing in his life. This is a good start. More than likely, this young man was, even at a young age, was a Jewish religious leader. Let's keep reading. And he said unto him, Jesus said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? And then Jesus lists several commandments in verses 18 and 19. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, can you imagine how the young man is kind of just, he's taking all this in. As Jesus is telling him all this stuff, I don't know what was happening on the inside, but I can see his head getting big. Because he's thinking, oh, man, hey, I've done all those. I've kept all those, I mean, right? As he's naming off each one, can you see this? Can you see this dialogue back and forth in your mind's eye a little bit? Picture how it's going, you know? And this guy's, you know, maybe his face is getting, his smile's getting big. I don't know what's happening, but surely something on the inside. Because his immediate answer is, the young man saith in him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. I've been a good boy since my youth. I've not done any of those. I've been very religious. What lack I yet? Again, he knows he's missing something. In all of that he had done, we're still, right now, it still looks pretty good. Because he's still saying, okay, you know, I get it. Maybe he's not really understanding it yet, maybe fully. He's not thinking on the same terms. But in some ways, we can look at it in black and white, and we can say, okay, well, he's still saying, all right, you know, I'm missing something. What do I lack? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. See, Jesus, being God, is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. That means that Jesus knew this rich young ruler's heart before this conversation even started. He knew as soon as he got into his presence and he said, Master, I mean, you know, maybe he's trying to sound important and powerful, and maybe he's even trying to sound a little bit humble about it. I don't know. But Jesus already knew what was in this man's heart before the dialogue even started. And Jesus knows what's in your heart today and in my heart today. So now he goes right to the heart of the matter, and he knows this man has a lot. I don't know that the young person knows that Jesus knows that, but Jesus knew it. Sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And now I can see this young man whose head was big, whose shoulders were broad. I can see his demeanor sinking. Because now he recognizes that he really doesn't want to turn his life over, nor maybe does he even believe that this man who he's talking to is the Messiah. I don't know his heart. But so many Jews rejected Christ. Just study the Bible. When he was walking the face of the earth. That now he says in verse 22, he says nothing. Do you see what he says? Nothing. Because something had control of this young man that he was not willing to let go of. What had control of him? Let's read verse 22. He went away sorrowful. He didn't say a word. According to the Bible, he said nothing. He walks up, asks the questions. Jesus says what he says. And then he said, I haven't done any of those. I've kept all those. What else? Now he puts his head down. He walks away. Because the Bible says he has great possessions. You see it? The problem with this rich young ruler is not that he had great possessions. The problem with this rich young ruler is that his great possessions had him. They had control of the way he lived his life. He could have controlled them, but he didn't. They controlled him. He had a void. This young man had no peace. This young man knew that he did not have eternal life. He had everything. He had wealth. He had possessions. He had prominence. I mean, but he was missing something. Think about this. He knew he was missing something. He was so close. You might be here today and you know you're missing something. And you're so close. Don't get so close and walk away sorrowful. Whatever it is that God is saying, let's think about it today. Whether you're a believer or not, first and foremost, we've made this point. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, it's time to get saved. That's between you and God, and I hope you'll make that decision. But how about us today who are believers? What has control of you? What has control of me? What is it that God is saying to have great victory and great prominence for God, not in the earthly things, but in the heavenly things? What is it that we're so close, and we need to confess and get rid of that today? What is God saying to us? He knew he had a void. This young man, the Bible says about him, and we're not going to turn there because we're almost out of time, but in Mark 10, which is the corresponding passage, if you want to jot that reference down, Mark 10:17, it even says about this young man that he came running. I'm not going to demonstrate that, okay? You can laugh. It's all right. One of these days, I'm going to come running. Hypershell, come running with that hypershell, Brother Rod. But he didn't need the hypershell. He just came running. So again, wow. He really wanted help. So it seemed. But the riches were too much. They had such a grip on his heart. You may have nothing in the world today that gives you prominence, prestige. That's okay. James tells us, let's go back to our text. Thank you for listening. James tells us, let the brother of those humble circumstances rejoice in his high position. The high position is in Christ. He may have nothing in this world, but his high position is in God. Paul calls it the off-scouring of the world. Let him rejoice in that he is exalted. We might be hungry, we might be thirsty, but we have the bread of life. We have the water of life. We may be poor, at least comparatively speaking, but may we not compare ourselves among ourselves, but we have true riches. At some point, we might be cast aside by men, but we are received by God. But as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would we be able to turn to one more place, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I believe this ties it all together. With the help of the Lord, ties it all together. Amazing how God puts it all together. I was sitting there this morning reading. Even the fact that we read that passage in Job, as I was reading it this morning in the service here, it was meant to be that we were to read those verses this morning. Brother Andrew, it was meant to be. We were to read those verses this morning. I'll talk to you about it afterwards. You wrote me a note this week. I'm not going to say it publicly, but God changed it for today. Wow. God is amazing. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich. Well, I tell you, I don't think you can get any richer than heaven, presence of God. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became what? Poor. The lowly estate of thine handmaid. You talk about rich to poor, heaven to a manger, heaven to a, you know, smelling and seeing the cattle and everybody, you know, can you see the cow walking over to look down and see? What's that? We normally don't have those two-legged ones in here. Cows don't do that, but that's okay. Whoa, I mean, just let the Lord piece this all together. For your sakes he became poor, that ye, Corinthians, even Corinthians, who were worldly. Actually, 2 Corinthians is a little bit more of a helper. 1 Corinthians is like, come on, you guys are cruising for a bruising over here. That ye, through his poverty, might be Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, there was one who had it all, but because he wanted to do the will of his Father, he gave that all up to be poor, so that all of us here today could be rich. Rejoicing in poverty? Sure we can. Rejoicing in riches? Sure we can. But don't hold on to either one, because the trumpet of the Lord is about to sound. The dead in Christ are about to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But we're going to be rich because there was the Son of God who said, I'm willing to be poor, that all of God's creation, humans, humanly speaking, might be rich. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.